8, verse 34 through 38. And as we're going into our revival, we pray that revival already started. But we need to understand the value of a soul. Do we really understand the value of a soul? Jesus Christ was speaking in these verses of scriptures, telling us about the value of a soul. I know in a few minutes we'll be giving the invitation. It makes a great difference where a soul spends eternity. And to understand the importance of your commitment to Jesus Christ through your church, on every service we have here today, leadership especially, as this new church year we're entering into, help build, help lead souls to Jesus Christ, teachers especially, the importance of your commitment, and all the leaders of our church, especially the ones the Lord is in leadership can area. So this morning, as we read these scriptures, Jesus speaking, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciple also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gains his whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous, sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do in the far saints of this service. Father, how the Holy Spirit of God with the power of the Word of God will visit each heart that's here today. Father, we just pray, God, that hearts will be accepted, Lord, to that precious will of God in their life, God. And Father, we just pray, God, they may come forward and accept you as Lord, as our Lord and Savior of their life if they have not done so. Make a recommitment of their life, oh God, and rededicate their life. Whatever, Lord, that you speak to them about this hour, Lord, we just pray, God, that your name might be glorified this day. And all these many blessings, we say amen in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and amen. All of us do not just have a soul, you are a soul. To understand, you are a soul. Soul is worth more than all the possessions that you might gain in a lifetime and all the pleasure this day. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There was a time when you was not. There never will be a time when you'll not be. Forever and ever in eternity. Your soul could no longer exist, or no way it could go out of existence than God himself could cease to exist. You will exist as long as God will exist, forever and forever and forever. To understand these verses, you know, it could totally change your life today, and the commitment that we have in Jesus Christ and the church and the things that Jesus Christ loves today. Heaven or hell is the two places that a soul will spend eternity. You know, a man was madly in love with this young lady, and he was very, very bashful, didn't know how to go about asking the question because he wanted to marry her, so he just bought her an engagement ring. Beautiful engagement ring, solitary diamond, put it in this box, and when I had the date, he gave it to her and says, now, honey, I want you to go home and open this package, and next time we have a date, you tell me what you think. Well, that happened, and she went home, and the next time they met, he said, well, now, what did you think about that gift? And I don't know what I say to her, whatever she says to me. She says, well, that was the beautifulest little box I ever saw. It had that fur all over the outside. It had a beautiful hinges on it. And the snap on it, it was so beautiful. And inside of that box, it was satin. He said, well, what did you think about the ring? Oh, she says, that piece of wire and that glass, I threw that away. Now, that sounds kind of dumb, don't it? But you see, that's exactly what people does. This here is the box. This is the box. The old body. The soul is the diamond in that beautiful ring. We spend time pampering the box, taking care of the box, do all we can for the box. Well, what about the diamond of our soul today? It exists somewhere forever and ever, but we neglect it. Once we find and understand what Jesus Christ is talking about, reality of being a soul winner, a prayer warrior, to pray for people that really needs their life changed for Jesus Christ. There's tremendous worth of a soul. We don't really understand the tremendous worth of a soul. People put value on a lot of things in the life that you are living in today. Treasures, stocks and bonds and property and about everything that you can think of. They put a lot of emphasis on the things. But if you could gain everything in this world, 10,000 worlds cannot begin to value your soul. What makes something valuable? What is it that makes something valuable? Creativity is one thing that makes things valuable. Who created your soul? That's what makes things valuable. As I read Genesis 2 and 7, it said that God did. Then Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." He crafted you. He made you. And that is the creativity that God made you. You are his masterpiece. You know, you have these beautiful paintings, you know, and they cost millions of dollars, some of them, but who done the painting? That's what makes them so valuable. The creativity. Who done all this? Well, you was created by Almighty God. That makes you valuable. Potentiality that you have. Potentials that you could be. What you might become. What something might become makes it valuable. All of us have this potential to be like Jesus Christ. Every one of us. Psalm 17 and 15 says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness." 1 John 3 and 2 says, "Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Michelangelo saw a block of marble. He says, "I see an angel in that block of marble, and I'm going to set it free." The sculpture, and he set that angel free. You see, God sees a saint in people. He sees a saint in each and every one of us. God looks down, sees that old Robert Thornton. He says, "Robert, I see a saint in you." See that lady, Lucille Brown. God says, "I see a saint in you." You know what God does? He looks down upon mankind, and you accept Jesus Christ, his son, by faith. He sees a saint in each one of us. And you know what? He sets that saint free in Christ Jesus. He sees a saint in every one of us. Father, to all mankind, is what we could be for the Lord. Now, it's not what we are, but what we could be. You know, he just set this spirit free. You see, the person, there's three people in the pew that you're sitting right now. The person you are right now. The person that you could be if it weren't for the sin and evil in our life. But also the person we could be to let Jesus Christ reign and rule in his life. I dreamed a dream that I went to the new heaven. Oh, and it was very, very beautiful. Bright lights and the beauty that's untold. Very glorious creature came up to me. And I said, "You must be Jesus." And that creature says, "No." I said, "Well, you must be one of the high archangels." The creature said, "No." I said, "Well, you must be Peter or John or one of those disciples." The creature says, "No." Well, I said, "Who are you?" And the creature says, "I'm old Robert Thornton." And I said, "Robert, I didn't recognize you." Jesus said, "I made a saint out of him." You see, God looks at every one of us. We get to heaven, we're going to be beautiful creatures for what God has made out of every one of us. Beautiful, beautiful creatures today in the likeness of Jesus Christ. The value of a soul. A Baptist preacher was preaching in Philadelphia. I can't remember his name, but I know Brother Marshall has read this. And he was a pastor of a Baptist temple. And he wanted to build a university. And he went around and he gave a speech through all across our nation trying to raise money. He raised $7 million to build the university, a temple university for the Lord. And he gave one speech everywhere he went. And that one speech, the name of it was Acres of Diamonds. Acres of Diamonds. It's a true story. A man in Africa lived in Africa, a little farm he had there in Africa. But by that time, they found diamonds in Africa. By like they found diamonds in the United States in the gold rush. So it was a diamond rush in Africa. Well, he wanted to get in on the riches like a many person did in the United States. They went to the gold fields to try to find gold. Well, he sold his little farm. Went across Africa trying to find diamonds. Searched and searched and searched, and he never did find diamonds, lost everything he had, and finally wound up committing suicide. But the man who bought his farm was walking out through a little brook, a little stream, saw an unusual form of rock, and he picked it up and washed it off, and one of the greatest diamonds was found in Africa, and that little farm became one of the greatest diamond mines in all Africa. And the moral of it is, the man had everything right there at his fingertips, but he gave it all away to go looking for something he could never find. Every one of us have a soul. And the people that you know of, your family, your kids, your neighbors, your relatives, they all have souls, and they are diamond mines. So you see the potentiality of what something could be, but also the durability of it. How long will it last makes things valuable. Back in the early 1800s and 1900s, when you had anything, if you bought anything in this country, it says made in the United States. Thank you, it did. You know, things was made to last, the durability, they was very, very valuable. You know, if you ever got enough of money, I remember when we didn't have no refrigerator. We didn't hardly have no lights. So I remember we had an ice box. I don't know how many of y'all remember an ice box. When James Griffin used to run the ice route and brought us a block of ice. Now, we had an ice box. But then we was able some way or another to get a refrigerator. I don't know how, a little small thing. And I don't know how many years that thing lasted. I can tell you one thing, it lasts about 15 times longer than any refrigerator you can buy today. I can tell you that. Because it was made with durability. It was very, very valuable because it was made in the United States. And it was made to last. Not only that, you know, the old Model T's and old tractors and all, whenever people made something in this country, it was made to last. You know how it's made now? It's made to wear out and throw away. The value is not there any longer. Made in the United States, but you see something else. Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says, "And many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contentment. And they that will be wise shall rise as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever and forever." Now think about the soul winning forever and ever to turn someone, have the everlasting life with a soul that is very valuable and lasts forever and ever. Not made in the United States, but made in the image of God, your soul in the image of God. He created you to exist as long as God himself exists. Can you imagine that? How long will God exist? How long will your soul exist? As long as God will exist. He will never go out of existence, and your soul will never go out of existence, no matter what state it's in, whether it be in hell or whether it be in heaven. That little child that you're raising up that gets grown, the age of accountability, where will that soul be forever and forever and forever? How about your kids, your neighbor, mothers and fathers, how important it is to understand that you're raising diamonds. And what you write on those diamonds will last forever and forever and forever, durability. But the rarity of something, how rare is something? You know, that makes things very, very valuable. Gold, there's not much of it. Silver, there's not much of it. Very, very valuable. You see, diamonds, there are not too many diamonds. There's just a few upside other things. You take old black coal. Now, there's plenty of coal. I mean, you can dig this up in several states. But you see, coal's not very valuable because there's so much of it. But these things are just a few, the rarity of things. You say, well, there's plenty of souls. No, they're not. They're only one, just like you. God never made a duplicate. They're only one, your soul. There will never, ever, ever be another soul just like your soul, forever and ever. God crafted you. You are his masterpiece. There will never be another. That's the reason you're so, so valuable. And you see, you're so valuable, and desirability is what makes things valuable also. As you think about this, and you want to sell a house, you want to sell a piece of property, maybe you want to sell your house, and man, you call that real estate appraisal and you say, well, I've just put a new roof on my house. And I've just put new flooring down and I painted my house. You've done all these repairs for your house. Well, that might and it might not cause that house to go up in value, but that appraiser knows what really is it worth is what somebody else is willing to pay for that house. That's what makes things, because the desirability, who wants it? You say, well, I got something worth so and so and so and so. No, you don't. If nobody else is willing to give you that for it, it's what somebody else is willing to pay for that piece of property or that house or that car or what else that you want to pay. What is really worth what somebody's willing to pay for it? Well, how much are you worth today, desirability? Well, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, as far as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corrupt things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Just climb up upon Mount Calvary if you want to know really desirability of your soul, and you just look what Jesus Christ done for your soul, how much he really wanted your soul. Have you saw the passion of Christ? Most of us have. The beating and the lashing of Jesus Christ. It's hard for people to watch that. It was for me without tears coming into my eyes. How they beat him and 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 they beat him. I don't think they're ever going to quit. And that was just a movie. And those nails. And he hung there. How much he desired to have you as you look upon the cross of Calvary. And the heartbeat of God saying, I love you. I love you. I want you. I need you. Your soul today. Oh, he desired to have you. The agony and the suffering, he died. And then on the cross of Calvary, my God, my God, why have thou forsaken me? For every soul that's sitting here today at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church can be saved because he loved you so much and he desired for you to accept him and have a soul that's spent in all eternity with Jesus Christ forever and forever and forever. A life without Jesus Christ has no point. In a few moments, we give the invitation. We have some pencils. And if you got someone that's not living for Jesus Christ, I don't care if they're a church member or not. If they're not living for Jesus Christ, they got problems. I have a pencil. I'm going to ask the ones that's concerned about someone that's lost, someone that's not committed their life to Jesus Christ, to come and take this pencil and use it for a tool to tell them about Jesus. Because this is a different pencil than you'll see, that you've ever seen in the store. Because you see, it has two erasers, one on each end. And then it says, life without Jesus Christ. Let me fix my phone here. Please help me. Life without Jesus is just like this pencil. No point to it. I want you to use this if you want to, if you come. You got somebody that you can think of. Is not living for Jesus Christ. You might use this a point to let them know without Jesus Christ, there's no point to life. They're trying to gain this whole world, but there's no point to it without the Lord Jesus Christ. The tragedy waste of a soul. It's a fatal, fatal tragedy. Mark chapter 8 and verse 36, as I've already read, to think about this, is a tragedy. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What profit? All we're trying to make a living, trying to make a living, trying to make a living. No time for the things of God. No, you don't have to make a living. You have to make a life. That's very important, to make a life. No time for the things of God. People lives as they are no God. And everyone that lives as they are no God, they better be right. But they're not right. But they live as they are no God. Foolish pursuit of the things of this world, as we all have seen, a sellout for Jesus Christ. Say, I love this world. What's important? Are the things of God important? Only thing that's going to last is what you do for Jesus Christ. What will it cost you? Fill in the blank. What does it really cause you to miss a service? What does it really cause you to forsake Jesus Christ? Is it just a recliner? There's a phrase in Revelation, it goes all the way through, earth dwellers, those that dwell upon the earth, they have decided this world is the only world that they care about. You know, no one's ever gained this whole world, but a lot of people's tried. Hitler's tried, Stalin tried, there's a lot of people tried to gain this whole world, but you see, if you could gain this whole world, you couldn't keep it, because time and death and decay will take everything away from you in this world. Everything. You will have nothing left. Just like old Job says, come in this world, I'm going out of this world without anything. You see, you couldn't keep it. What people try to sell out to try to keep these things of this world. Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. What would it cost you to sell out for Jesus Christ? 1 Corinthians 7 and 31 says, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passes away. You see, and if you could keep it, if you could get it, it would never satisfy you. Look how the billionaires and rich people, they're never satisfied, because the things of this world never satisfy the longness of your heart because of God, a God conscious. Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundantly with increase. This is also vanity. Acts 17 and 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poet have said, for we are also his offsprings. Every one of us really belongs to God. Fatal tragedy. Think of your soul. The end. Measurable loss. You cannot measure your soul, the loss of a soul. I know that a lot of people saw their house go up in smoke. That would be very, very a great loss. You left this church this morning. You go back and all you saw was a pile of ashes for your house. Can you imagine that the things in your house that could not be replaced? Can you imagine that the things of loss of your house? But you see, also, we all have lost loved ones. And what a tragedy loss it is of loss of loved ones. People's lost their health and their wealth and the loss of loved ones. But nothing can compare to the loss of a soul. Of a loss of a soul. Nothing can compare. Because it's immeasurable. Nothing can measure up to a soul. You cannot measure it because we have nothing to measure it with. It's irreplaceable. Now, some things you can replace. There's a lot of things, you know, you can build a new house and you can replace a lot of things. You know, a newly wedded couple, man went off to work, come back home, his wife was crying. What's wrong, honey? She said, I made you some biscuits and dog got them on the table and eat them. He said, that's all right, honey, we can get a new dog. You see, there's some things can be replaced. Some things can be replaced, but you see, our soul can never be replaced. And irreversible. Once you lose it, you lose it forever and forever and forever and forever. Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed a man once to die, after this judgment. Ezekiel 18:4, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the souls of the Son is mine, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Sons and daughters, generation after generation. Mark 8:37, or for what shall a man gain in his change for loss of his soul? You see, we get in the face of God and you say, well, one of these days we're going to admit that we're wrong, because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, that don't mean everybody's going to be saved, but everybody's going to know that Jesus Christ, who he said he was. And you say, well, when I get before God, I say, God, you know, I really realize now that I need to repent, and I was really wrong, and I want you to have mercy on me, and I want your forgiveness. If you die without Jesus Christ, there's no reverse. There's no reverse, whatever your decision that you make. If you want mercy, you can have it today. If you want forgiveness, you can have it today. But it will be too late. There's no second chance after death. What would you say? Well, there's so many preachers today, and I just tell you what, there's so many preachers, so many different things. Lord, I just didn't know what to believe. That old preacher, I be said something else. Somebody, another old preacher, they say something. I just really didn't know what to believe. Jesus Christ says, I didn't tell you to believe on a preacher. I says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Well, I didn't know what church to join. They Baptist churches and Methodist churches, they churches here and churches there. And God, I didn't know what church to be a member of. I didn't tell you to believe on a church. I told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. Well, I went to church and there's so many hypocrites. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, they're hypocrites in the church. I didn't tell you to believe on hypocrites. I told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, I was going to come down, but you know, I just didn't feel like that I could live it. I did not tell you to believe on yourself. I told you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Inexcusable loss, there are no excuse. Mark 8:35, there's no excuse. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it. Three men was in a discussion. Two of them was lost, one was saved. And probably most of y'all have heard this before, as these two lost men got in this heated argument, and one of them told the other one, you go to hell. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? Y'all ever heard anybody say that? The saved man said, reached over and whispered to one who was told to go to hell. He said, I've read the instructions, and you don't have to go to hell if you don't want to. I've read the instructions. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ. If I had the ability to give you the wealth of a billionaire, of all the pleasure that you wanted and needed, if I had the ability to do that, I said, well, the one thing, there's going to be a price to pay. And that price is, I want you to cut off your big toe. A lot of you are thinking right now that you could do away with your big toe, could you not, for being a millionaire? Don't raise your hand. But then I said, not only you'd say, yes, I would do that for $1 billion to be a millionaire, I could do without my big toe. But I said, you know, there's something else I want you to do. I want you to cut off your right arm. Now, that might cause some of us to think a little bit. But not only that, I want you to cut off your right arm. I want to take both your eyes and both your ears. You say, wait a minute. I would not do that to be a billionaire. No deal. Well, do you know what? There's a lot of people giving a whole lot more and receiving a whole lot less. Your soul, so valuable as your soul is. The transaction of a soul, conviction, conversion, and confession. How can I be saved? Conviction, let the Holy Spirit of God convict you that you are a sinner. Throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And then there's conversion, let the Holy Spirit of God speak to your heart. In Mark 8:34 it says, and when he had called his people unto him with his disciples, said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny the self, take up the cross and follow me. And then there's confession. Who wants to come except Jesus Christ? Whosoever there shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. 2 Peter 3 and 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but in longsuffering to usward, not willing that anybody except in Pleasant Hill Baptist Church should perish, but all should come to repentance. You hear today, the will of God is for you to be saved. But not only that, there are some people around us, family members, loved ones, friends, neighbors, that also needs this very thing. They need to be saved. As I told you, you see, we need to be praying for these people. We're going to do this from every Sunday morning now until we have a revival that might go on. As we come now with a song of invitation, as you think about this, I have some rocks. Y'all didn't get a chance last week. You got someone that you'd like to remember. You want to pray for them. You just come get one of these rocks and you put it in your pocket. You put it on the refrigerator. You put it on wherever you want to put it. Put it in your pocketbook there, wherever you do. And just remember, when you touch this and feel it, I'm going to need to pray for that person. There's a person that needs to be saved. There's a family that's in so much turmoil. I need to pray for that family continuously. Every time that you feel this rock in your pocket, you be praying for them. Also, if you want to come this morning, I got plenty of pencils. Kind of different kind of pencils that I showed you. If you want to use this pencil, eraser on each end. Kind of odd looking pencil, isn't it? Without Jesus, it's just like this pencil. No point to it. Could you take this and use this? You know, tell how many souls. Just hand them this and pray that the Holy Spirit of God will start speaking to them. We're going to ask you to stand and do what God has called you to do. Whatever it might be this morning, as we stand this invitation hymn. Step out right now. Don't wait for someone else to come if God has spoken to your heart. I'm standing here if anybody wants to do business with the Lord. You be seated for just a moment, please. I believe it was last Wednesday night, if I'm correct, that Miss Sarah came to me and said that, what's your name, Abigail? That Abigail had accepted the Lord. One of the greatest pleasures, I guess, that any mother and father can ever have is to lead their daughter to Christ. And Miss Sarah did. She led her daughter to Christ. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, whosoever shall come to me, I will nowise cast out. Are you in or you out? Are you in or you out? She thinks I'm picking on her. But she said she went through the plan of salvation and she's saved. You know that you're saved? You know that you're saved? See? That is a great, great blessing to any family. As I said, all the prayer, everything we do, go through a revival, if just one soul is saved, I tell you, especially if it belongs to my family, it'd be worth everything that we do at Pleasant Hill. Do I hear a motion that we accept her for canon for baptism? I hear a second. All in favor by standing up and saying amen.
Amen.
And tonight, we already know this was coming. We already got the water ready. And can you swim? And we'll have baptism tonight. Give it a full hand of fellowship. Now, we'd like to ask her and her mother if she wants to. Would you mind going to the door? They'd like to shake your hand or hug your neck, either one, okay? Hey, God bless you this morning. We thank you for being here today. Appreciate it. Brother Johnny.